Welcome to The Commentary. I'm Cameron Brooks, a poet and a musician at Grace Presbyterian Church.
And I'm Mark Bertrand. I'm a novelist and the pastor of Grace. The Commentary is an in-depth conversation about vision, worship, and life at Grace. And in this episode, we're going to be talking about one of the principal activities that binds us together at Grace, which is our community groups. In 2025, our community groups at Grace did a little bit of a relaunch, and we're in the halfway point of this semester's activity. And so I thought it might be an interesting time to just take a moment, reflect on what it is we're doing differently and how it's going. So Cameron, let me just run down some of the differences, because Grace has had groups meeting for a while now, but we were calling them small groups, and that's one of the changes. We're calling them community groups now for two reasons. One, because we always talk about longing for more grace, more depth, and more community, and because these groups really help deliver on that third longing, we thought, why don't we just name it? Secondly, because although we call them small groups, they get bigger and bigger. And so there are some small groups that felt like, well, it's not very small, it's at least a medium group. So community group helps a little bit with that. But probably the biggest difference is that we've started this new season with a plan for 8 community group meetings. So all of our groups meeting 8 times leading up to our summer break. And we've been doing something we haven't done before, which is we're all following, roughly speaking, the same reading. So we've been reading Ed Welch's book, Caring for One Another, which is a short book divided into 8 chapters, each of which helps lay people in particular think about how they can bear one another's burdens. And so we are 4 chapters in, we're kind of at the halfway point here, and we've been talking about what it means to bear each other's burdens, how to be more open to people. We've talked a little bit about trying to understand what the sources for hardship in people's lives are so that we can be a little more sympathetic to others. And it helps us to not only care for one another, but to pray for one another better. So in our small group meeting, we have
community group.
Oh, thank you. In our community group meeting, we have, a lot of time where we're just really hanging out, and spending time together. And then we'll spend some time reading through the material and talking about it. And then we spend some time praying for one another. And it takes about 1.5 hours. And it has been a really good way of connecting. And so I was just curious, Cameron, what your thoughts are. I know as a participant in our small groups before, and this is a little bit different, like you are, it's true for me as well, but you're in a group that's different from your old group.
Right.
And the format's a little different. So what's that been like?
Yeah, it's been good. And we're at 1 chapter behind, our group is, but we've still met, I think, three times now.
Uh-huh.
And yeah, I'll be honest, I was a little concerned at first, changing up the group entirely.
Right.
And meeting with, they're not all new people. I've known most of them for a while, but not always in a very deep way. And the big difference I've been noticing, I think thanks to this book, is that there's been more vulnerability faster. And I think that also suggests to me that there's been a hunger for something like this at the church. People are ready to build community. They're like we talk about all the time, people really want this. And as a result, they're willing to open up a little bit more about their lives so that others can come in and help them and pray for them. And so that's been the biggest difference. And I loved my old small group. I love all those people. We used to get together and essentially hang out for a bit and talk about the sermon.
Mm.
And depending on the sermon, we'd have a great time. No, it was fine. But I think changing up the format is actually really good for me to prepare a little bit differently, bring different expectations to the community group, and frankly, open up myself a little bit more.
Yeah, I mean, I'll say as a preacher of some of those sermons that I think this is a good change because the community group being focused on like community building, that's a different dynamic than focusing on like sermon discussion. Now, I love for people to discuss sermons. I love discussing them. But getting together to talk about something you heard is a little bit different than getting together to get to know one another more and to kind of do discipleship together. And so I think there's a place for both. But what I think this does really well is it shifts the focus a little bit so that our small groups, where you could have had more sense that it's almost like a Bible study a little bit, you know, this is clearly a different kind of thing. And it's not centered around, you know, discussion of intellectual content as much as it's sharing one another's burdens and needs and that kind of thing. So I think in that sense, you're absolutely right that it is something that we have wanted, and it seems like we're really getting that here. And believe me, I can speak for Pastor Dan here, who sort of masterminded this new approach. A lot of prayer, a lot of trepidation, because when things are working, why would you change them, you know? And so I think we wanted to be really careful, but in thinking it through and what the needs were and how to address them, Dan felt very strongly, and I think he was absolutely right, that now is the time to take that risk, because now more than ever, we want to build that sense of connectedness. And I'm astonished what a high percentage of our members and regular attenders are part of this. You know, I mean, with everything that we do, you never expect 100% participation. It's not realistic. It doesn't work for everyone. I can't believe how many people are connected with a community group and are attending those groups. And yeah, it's been such a great, great encouragement.
One question I have for you is, how do you think in your group, or what you've heard from other groups, how are the younger people experiencing community groups?
That's a new rhythm to question. Yeah. So let me talk about my group a little bit and then maybe fill in some of the things that we've heard from others. But so this is the first time Lori and I have hosted a group. So our group meets at our house, and I would say we are at least 50-50 adults and children, but it's hard to tell because the kids move so quickly. I don't know if we've ever got an accurate head count, but it just the environment of it, you know, it's much more informal and familial, you know, because the kids are sometimes upstairs playing, but then sometimes they come down, and depending on their age, they might sit with us. We have some teenagers who are part of the group and participate, and that's also been really beautiful to see, where you know, you have parents and their teenage kids part of the same group and talking through these same things. So that's been really great as well. So I think the kids seem to love it. I'm always relieved that no one got injured while they were here. You know, like the Bertrand house is not always child friendly, but they seem to find adventure wherever they go. So I just feel that there's a real warmth, especially to the intergenerational quality, you know, because we have people at every stage of life side by side participating. And you know, the challenge, I guess, is that you're always accommodating things, right? There's some things, maybe if you're an adult, you're not going to say in front of kids,
right?
Or find a way to say it or whatever. But
you know, that's also part of real community is,
yeah.
is navigating that intergenerational dynamic, right?
Yeah. No, that's good. I asked the question because obviously the children are a large part of the
right.
congregation at
right.
Grace, and they therefore play a large part of the community life. And sometimes we like to find a babysitter or find a way to get them out of this discussion so we can do the adult thing.
Yeah.
And, but there's something refreshing. I agree. Like you were saying about this, where the kids are there. And in our group anyway, we do have a babysitter downstairs, but the kids are still running back and forth. And yeah, that feels healthy. So I think keeping them in mind as a real part of the community, not just distractions from the community that we're trying to make,
right,
is important in all of this.
Yeah, well, it's a good way, I think, for young people to get to know other adults in the congregation and feel a closeness. And it's a good way to, you know, I mean, I think there's a place for activities where, you know, kids can be taken off your hands and you can focus on, you know, discussion or something like that. But this is maybe a nice middle ground. You know, I found that it's not so intense that you're like, oh, if kids make noise, it'll be so distracting. How can I focus? It feels more social. And so the conversation is, you know, it's not a lecture. It's just a little back and forth, and it's okay if there are interruptions or something like that. And so, each of our community groups, because, you know, you got different grouping of people, different ratios of adults to kids and things like that. We do have, you know, some with babysitters, some groups with fewer kids, some with more. And so I think each group kind of has to figure out a little bit of that dynamic and how that's going to work. But from what I'm hearing, though, it sounds pretty consistent across the board that this kind of familial vibe is what's emerging, which I think is good. And maybe that also helps, too, that it's not so much about covering the sermon as it is just having a conversation about care.
Yeah.
Because that's something you're less concerned about the distractions for, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
You know, because those little distractions are one of the objects of care.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, well, I have to tell a funny story about our community group.
Yeah.
So this was obviously several weeks ago as we were getting started and we were trying to get a texting group going. And I didn't have everyone's number. Nobody had all the numbers. So we were exchanging names and saving contacts. And there were about 11 people in our chat. And at the very start, somebody suggested we should start sending photos of each other from the past. Not just a name, but a photo. So people started sending photos. And then all of a sudden, we got a text from some number that said, "Hey guys, so I don't know if this is a Circle K thing, because I start there tomorrow, but I believe you guys have the wrong number. Unless you need Alicia or something." Oh. So somehow one Alicia got in on
that
on our texting group and saw several photos of our members and got all of our number. So
I mean, I've heard a lot of great outreach strategies, but
I know I thought about asking Alicia.
This is
she knew for the church.
This is a new one. You guys maybe should meet at the Circle K one time.
That's right.
See how that goes.
Yeah.
But you know, that's funny though, because I have noticed this with our group and I've heard from others, just the communication task is actually part of organizing community, like keeping in touch with one another, and schedules change and things move around. And so just needing to do that does create some of that sense of togetherness, you know, and being in touch with one another and all that. So it's always interesting when, you know, like we host a group, but we don't lead it. And so we get emails kind of giving us the instructions, and I'm like, okay, right.
Yeah.
We're hosting and it's at this time,
yeah.
You know, or that's a strange way of saying it, but this week it's at this time as opposed to an earlier time, the way it was last time.
Yeah.
But the other thing that's been interesting to me though, is that, and maybe this is just coming, you know, from a pastor, the problem with a sermon discussion, if you are the one who preached the sermon, is that people just tend to turn to you for the answer,
right?
You know, like, I thought this about the sermon. What do you say, Pastor Mark? And so that it's not a discussion. It's more like a ask the pastor kind of thing. So for me, what's been really fun is being able to participate in a conversation that I'm not leading, if that makes sense, and to be able to get people in maybe like more unguarded exchanges, if that makes sense, that you know, aren't about having right answers, but are about, you know, getting to know one another.
Yeah.
Like, and so we had all sorts of interesting things. We've had probably the thing that struck me, maybe not as funny as your Circle K, but as we were talking about, especially being sympathetic to other people's pain, you know, we're just drawing on memories and experiences, but one member of our group who will remain nameless quoted Oprah Winfrey and something Oprah always says. And I was like, you know, I have had Oprah quoted in church context before, but never without some like flavor of criticism. This is the first time I could remember just having it thrown out there. Well, Oprah said something like this, and kind of like, yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's the other fun thing about it, is that there's a lot of different experiences and a lot of different insights that come up in these conversations. And so it's not as, I don't know, not everybody's quoting Bob Inc, but we're having some fun.
Yeah.
You know?
Definitely. Well, we're about halfway through, right? As you said,
yeah,
start. So any words of encouragement for those of us who are continuing on?
Yeah. So I would say this, that, you know, we are at the halfway point. And one of the things I encouraged people at the beginning when we started was to make the commitment to be at every single meeting, because we underestimate how important simple presence is.
Yeah.
Now, I knew when I said this that it wasn't realistic for everyone to be at every meeting because of schedules, sickness, that sort of thing. I myself missed the second meeting because I was sick. I was actually sick in bed upstairs while the community group was meeting down.
So you were kind of there.
Sort of. It was a strange feeling. But what I would say is, at this point, I would like renew that encouragement. You know, if you've missed some meetings, if you were signed up and you haven't managed to make it to one yet, don't worry about that. Just come and just be a part of it. The most important thing is not the material that's being covered. It's the experience of community building. And so it's the kind of thing you should never feel that if you missed something, you're behind or whatever. It's always the right time to jump in. So that would be one encouragement. The other one would be that this is going to take us through into the summer, and we'll have a summer break. And then, of course, the big question in people's minds is, what then? And so part of the answer to that question is getting feedback on how this has gone. So I would say that you want to kind of be thinking about this experience so that you can give feedback when asked, like, how do you think it went? What would you like to see changed? What would you like to see say the thing? That sort of thing. I will say personally, I'm loving this and I would like to do it again. And I think this is fantastic. The thing we did this time that we've never attempted before was a geographical distribution where, you know, literally with a map out, we plotted where do people live and tried to more or less, you know, within reason, assign people to geographically convenient groups. and just the realities of things. You know, we have some people who literally walked to our meeting because the weather was nice enough to do it for the first time this year. But for others, it's farther away, you know, and people are more distant. You've got to drive, that sort of thing.
We have three families, including us, who are on the same street, which we think is kind of on Glendale, within two blocks or so.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
Yeah, we don't carpool yet, but we talked about it yesterday. So we're building community.
Right, right. Sounds like we need like a church bus to go by, just pick everybody out. Yeah. But I mean, I think it like opportunities like that were part of what inspired Dan as he was thinking through this, that perhaps this could happen. And so, so that makes a lot of sense in terms of a division that you might live with. One sort of wrinkle though, is that we really want our community groups to be a place that new people can become part of. So as people visit the church, become part of our community, join the church, we want it to be easy for them to participate in a group. And what that means is we always have to be open to the idea of growth and even multiplication, right? Depending on the group, like for us, we sort of, from the beginning, we're like, you know, anybody who needs a place, wherever you live, you're welcome to come. And we want to make it also easy for people in our group to invite other people in. So it's okay if we're bursting at the seams. It's okay, you know, that's great. And so I think that's another part of our community groups that we really want to encourage, is that this is a great way to bring people into the Grace community. It's an easy way to befriend people and just introduce them to this community. And so we always want to have a certain flexibility where that's concerned as well. So not only want people to always feel welcome to drop in, but we also want to encourage people to connect people with it, you know, so be inviting people and make this grow so that poor Pastor Dan has to figure out how to create new groups.
Yeah. Well, if Pastor Dan's out there, we owe him our thanks again for
absolutely
organizing this. And I agree with what you've been saying. It's been really, really refreshing and wonderful, especially as the warmer weather's coming around. feels good at Grace. There's lots of good energy. And I also thank God for that, you know, for
absolutely. Yeah. I think
doing.
As we are in our study of Ephesians, talking about our oneness, our connectedness, it's a beautiful opportunity to live out that message. So you might think of it this way, you know, we're not meeting in our community groups to discuss the sermon, but we are meeting to live it out.
Yeah.
And that might be better.
Thank you for listening to The Commentary. We hope you've enjoyed this episode. You can rate us on your favorite podcast app and share episodes with your friends on social media. You can subscribe to The Commentary on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Stitcher. You can find out more about us online and check out our other podcasts by visiting us at graceforsiouxfalls.org.